you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Cats and dogs bring into our hectic lives many gifts, such as companionship, a chance to go out in nature and stretch our legs, and unconditional love. Our guest today, Carlene Montez Dioka, points out that these furry companions are scientifically proven stress busters in perhaps this most stressed out age that humanity has ever known. Carlene Montez Dioka is an acupuncturist, plant-based nutritional consultant, and animal-human health expert. A former editor of Movie Picture Films and spokesperson for the Guardian campaign at In Defense of Animals, she is the founder of the Animal-Human Health Connection and author of Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. Join us for the next hour as we explore how our cats and dogs can be our health and wellness allies with our guest, Carlene Montez Dioka. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Carlene, welcome.
Thank you, Justine. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's such a pleasure to have you here. I would love for you to share the story with our listeners of how you got into animal health and wellness, being a film editor, and then suddenly your whole life is changing. So describe that for us, please.
Well, I can tell you that the moment I was born, I felt an immediate connection to animals. I kind of think that probably my first word was doggy and not mommy, because I just felt this connection. And there was a big age gap between myself and my siblings, so I ended up feeling a little bit like an only child and a little isolated. But what I lacked in human connections, I made up for in lots of dogs around me. So it started off early. I felt that connection. And then when I got older, I was going through a divorce, and it was pretty painful at the time. And I remember that I had my two cats, Cody and Jester, who really helped me through that time. I tell people, you know, I was suffering from insomnia, a little depression, anxiety, and I could have taken medications for those things. But it was my animals, my cats, that really touched my heart in a way that I don't think medication could have ever. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, when they really helped me during that time, I thought I must be the only person going through this who's experiencing this amazing animal-human health connection. But then I got into my private practice, and it was my patients who started sharing their stories with me. And as they would share the stories, just in even the telling of the stories, I could see, wow, look at them. They were stressed a minute ago, and now they're smiling. Or I could tell that their immune system had just been boosted because they were laughing. And I thought to myself, look at all the positive hormones that are happening right now just because they're feeling happier and better. And then I would say that the last part of this equation that kind of got me here was the fact I rescued six animals. And I had them with me, and they all had their various levels of healing that they had to go through. And in helping them, I got the benefit of what they had to offer me.
When you say you rescued them, what do you mean?
Well, they came from various, I call it my six pack, and I had two cats and four dogs, and they came from various different places. Cody, my oldest, my cat, I found him under a house with other cats. He had a feral mom. Jester was an FIV cat, which is the feline immune deficiency. So Jester, my cat, he had FIV. And so therefore I rescued him. I found him in Hollywood. And then I had my other four dogs, which came from various rescue situations. Teddy was an older chow, and I found him in Hollywood, or the rescue found him in Hollywood, just kind of roaming around. And we have Dakota, who is another rescue from the shelter. And then we have Rudy, whose mother got adopted. And then who am I leaving out? Roxy. How could I forget Roxy, who came from a drug arrest in Watts? And I rescued her. So this became my six pack.
Well, that's very generous of you to include them in your household. That's quite a full household. Do you have that many pets or companions, animal companions these days?
Well, four of them are no longer here. Two of them are, but they're 14 and 16. And I'm waiting for them. It's right now, being 14 and 16, I don't want to bring in an extra animal right now, because I want them to have a really high quality of life during these later years. But so, you know, maybe six was probably the most I may have at some point, but who knows? You never can say.
You use the word guardians rather than pet owners. Can you tell us why you use that term?
Sure. If you think of an owner, think of what an owner, what they have. They own, let's say, I own my computer, I own my cell phone, I own my car. When I'm done with those things, I get rid of them. I sell them, I throw them away. And when we have this idea or this mentality of being an owner when it comes to an animal, we've seen scientifically that owners will relinquish their animals more. They're more likely to tie a dog up in a backyard. There is this idea of, this is my property, this is my possession, this is my thing, it's a commodity. But when you think of guardianship, even in saying that, I am a guardian, I feel like my umbrella has gotten much, much larger, that I know that I'm responsible in a much deeper and greater way. The guardianship campaign was something that was started by Dr. Elia Katz, who's the founder of the campaign and the president emeritus of In Defense of Animals. I interviewed him for my book, and I remember going home after I had really heard him speak about guardianship. And I remember thinking, as I was walking Roxy, I'm your guardian. I'm your guardian. And it made me feel just much bigger in the world. And I started applying that term not only to my dogs, but to my stepchildren. I never liked stepmom, but guardian somehow made it feel like, you know what, it's more of an allowing place. And even with my husband, who I take for granted from time to time, when I think of guardianship, I think more of it's not like I own this relationship, but we are here together. And I even think of guardianship in terms of our environment, in terms of our world. I think it's a healthier place in many ways to come from instead of ownership.
I agree. It's a beautiful term. It does give a different flavor of our relationship than something like owner or other terms. Let's talk about the healing powers, these great healing powers, these superpowers, as you might call them. Talk about some of the superpowers that our animal allies might have.
Right. I always think of the word P because it helps me to remember them. But I think, for example, I think of our dogs and those power noses that they have, and how we have dogs that we're seeing are smelling out diseases. Cancer, even here in San Anselmo, we see there's Pine Street Clinic where they've studied how animals or how our dogs can sniff out different a variety of cancers. You know, that is their focus. We've seen it with epilepsy. We've seen it with diabetes. There's numerous things. So I think of the power nose just in terms of diagnostics, if you want to call it that. I also think of in terms of like our cats. in terms of our cats, that purring, the purring is so healing. I almost find it at like a sedative. If a cat comes and lays on my stomach or lays on my back, it's moments before I get deeply relaxed or even fall asleep. I think
somebody once suggested, I think it might have been Barbara Marx Hubbard, if I remember correctly, about we should have these kinds of big purr cats available to the war room in Washington, D.C., and just to calm the generals down. You know?
I agree. It hasn't been lost on me that our current president doesn't have a companion in the White House.
That's true. And that's kind of a rarity. I don't remember in my lifetime, I don't know if Eisenhower had a pet, but most everybody.
Right, especially in current day.
Yeah,
definitely. Right. And I was even thinking about that when I was driving up, thinking, I wonder if President Trump was raised with animals in any way. It wouldn't surprise me if he wasn't.
That just reminds me, too, that you mentioned in your book that if someone has a dog or a cat, let's say, with a child in the first year of their life, mm-hmm. that there are statistics that show that these children suffer less from bouts of asthma and allergies.
Yes.
Can you say something about that?
Right. There have been studies that have shown that they're within the first year. I think that is when your immunity starts to be built up in a stronger way. And so this is where we see a greater resilience with asthma and with allergies.
And is this kind of like an inoculation or something, having a pet around what's the mechanism of that?
I think what happens is that your immune system gets exposed to certain allergens, and then it builds up a resistance to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're exposed to animals at an early age, it builds up a certain resistance. So now you have that immunity.
Right. Okay. So what about some other benefits? You talked about purring, and what about petting?
Mm-hmm.
What does petting do for us?
Right.
I mean, we know that many of our pets or many of our animal companions like to be petted.
Mm-hmm.
At least they show that they do,
mm-hmm.
it seems. And what's the benefit of that for both them and for us?
Absolutely. I remember, in fact, this woman pretty much said it all. I remember talking to a journalist, and I mentioned animals, and she said, oh, my God, the moment I hold my animal and I start petting them, all my stress gets released. And I think to myself, that's a big part of it. You start getting into, one is, I don't think that you're off thinking about the future, the past, or whatever. You're focused on this feeling of this warm body that just feels so good, and you start petting them, and you start focusing, for one. You start becoming mindful of the here and the now. Your blood pressure, as your stress is being released, your blood pressure starts to go down. Your levels of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. All of us are a little bit stressed out these days,
right.
And that starts to diminish as well. As that starts happening, you're also getting a boost to your immune system because you're starting to feel good. And all the feel-good hormones start to come up as well, start to elevate. So these are some of the things, you know, I think it was the New York Times that made that mention that what animals do for us in many ways is they allow us to, in the moment, as we are interacting with them, our brain stops from all the craziness in the moment. And that's where the healing begins. So there's many things that happen in that petting.
That's good to know. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Carlene Montes de Oca. And she is the author of Dog is My Doctor, Cat is My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. And if you want to know more about her work, and actually she has a free quiz for you to take on her website, you can go to her website, animalhumanhealth.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. here with Carlene Montez Dioka, and she spells her name C-A-R-L-Y-N Montez, M-O-N-T-E-S D-E-O-K-A, O-C-A. And she's the author of Dog is My Doctor, Cat is My Nurse. And Carlene, we're talking about the benefits of, the health benefits of sharing our lives with our pet or our animal companions. So can you, let's talk about some of the other things about cholesterol, about heart disease, depression, some of these other categories that might, that we might, and also exercise.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I focus on in what I've written about is that, yes, there's a lot of physical benefits, and we see a lot of science, a lot of studies that have been done on all of the things that you've mentioned. But the body is not just physical. It's emotional. It's mental. There's a spiritual component to it. This is what we consider whole body health. Beyond the studies, I mean, it's, yes, we can see that from being a child to being an adult to being a senior, animals can offer companionship. They can offer friendship. They can offer relief of stress. They can offer anxiety relief. They have a lot to offer, but it's an entire gamut. I mean, they can help us in countless ways through this mind, body, spirit, the entire trifecta of human health.
So we're talking about also that animals, I know that you have a chapter in your book that talks about emotional EQ, our emotional quotient, that it can be upped when we share our lives with these animal companions.
One of the most important things, and I would think that most parents would agree that we can teach our children, is empathy. And what we see with our emotional quotient, is the fact that if we teach empathy, the people that have the greatest empathy also have the greatest EQ. And what that means is we're able to be more resilient with our emotions when things happen to us. Hopefully we aren't overreacting, but we can just balance that off. Yes, life will happen, but we can be more in control of our emotions in this, in a healthy way. And we see that if we teach our children that early on with empathy, that they have a higher EQ. So one of the ways that we can teach empathy is to adopt an animal into our life early and teach children about responsibility, about caring, about respect, about kindness, all of these things that boost that EQ and teach empathy more than anything.
And when you talk about empathy, I'm wondering, both dogs and cats, but I'm thinking it's more prominent maybe in dogs. Are dogs empaths?
Well, it's interesting because an empath sounds a little bit more like they have some magical power. I think that, and they may, but I also think that dogs and cats are extremely sensitive to a human's emotions. And they are so aware. If you ever go out and walk your dog, you know they are. They can see, they can hear. They're so aware. They're almost hyper aware. One of the things I learned very early on, and it was taught to me. Do you know who the dog whisperer is? Who they call Cesar Millan? It was taught to me very early on when I went to see him with a dog that I had named Roxy, who was very, very difficult. She had come from a drug bust in Watts. And when I brought her into my home, she had a whole host of behavioral issues that I didn't know, not know how to deal with. And I, by certain luck of the draw, I ended up with Caesar, who actually taught me something. And this is, can I share the story of how he taught it?
I would love for you to share it.
I showed up to a workshop that he was having with only 15 people. And when I got there, I went with Roxy, who was a little shepherd. Well, she was medium-sized shepherd, and she had an attitude, boy. She walked like she owned wherever she was. And so I went off to the corner with her. And when Caesar finally came out, we were in the horse arena. He came out and he said, "Who has the most aggressive dog here?" And everybody pointed at me. And I thought, oh, okay. And then he said, "Well, can I borrow your dog?" And I said, "Sure." And as soon as I gave Roxy to him, she started completely going ballistic and just kind of going, rawr, rawr, you know, just growling. And he was completely nonchalant. He took two other dogs, and now he had three dogs, and she was kind of trying to bite
them. Are they on leashes?
Leashes, yes. Okay. So he had two dogs in one hand, Roxy in the other hand, and he started to go around the horse arena. And the moment he started going away from me, she started to really go ballistic. And I'm thinking, okay, good luck to you, because I don't know what to do here. He literally rounded the corner, past a tree. He came back with all three dogs in one hand. All the leashes. And she was completely not reacting anymore. And I was so surprised. And he said, "Now you do it." And I didn't know what that meant. So I started to walk. And he said, wait. He said, "Why are you so stressed out? Why are you so tense?" And I turned around and I said, "Well, I've seen what she's capable of." And he said, "You have to let that go. If you ever want to help her, if you ever want to heal her, you have to let go of your stress. That was yesterday. Today is a whole new day." So I believe that. And what I saw was that was the truth. Animals, especially, and dogs in this case, pick up just emotions that you don't even know you're having. So his advice to me, don't walk your dog angry. Don't walk your dog when you're super anxious. Make sure that you process, or you're at least aware, because they will pick it up. And if they have some issues, they may overreact too. They're like, "What's the danger? What's going on?" So they pick up a lot from us, whether it's, whether it's empathy, I don't know what it is, but they are super sensitive to our emotions. And that's a great way for us to know sometimes when we're not aware of our own emotions.
That just reminds me, we're just coming off of the tail end as we're doing this interview of that record-setting hurricane in South Texas, Harvey. And there are so many pictures that I noticed as I was watching the news and watching this unfold of all these animals that were being rescued with their companions. Mm-hmm. And my heart just went out to them, and just feeling, oh, it was so good. I was so heartened to see that all of these animals were not being left behind.
Right. It's true, because we, by the same token, I don't know if you saw Katrina, that a lot of animals were left behind because the rescuers were not allowed to bring them. And now things have really changed. So I've seen so many pictures of that. And it makes me feel good, because these guys are part of our family. Of course, we're not going to leave them behind. So it's beautiful that now with these rescue efforts, we're including humans and animals.
Yes, it was very heartening. It was very heartening. In talking about how we can benefit, you had some statistics that I found really interesting about some colleges are using animals and dogs like they're available for rent, so to speak, in finals week, as students are going through the stress of the finals of a quarter or a semester, and that's very stressful. And so these animals are available. Can you say something about that?
It's funny, I had read about this, but then as I was actually writing this chapter, my daughter had called me from Berkeley. My stepdaughter had called me from Berkeley, and she said, "They brought dogs. It's finals week, and they brought dogs." So they actually brought dogs here in Berkeley to the campus to help the students, because stress, as you know, is very high, especially in college when you're getting through finals, especially at a school like Berkeley. And I said, "Well, how did you feel? How does that feel? Did you feel a difference?" And I could tell she was really smiling and she was really happy. And that was great to hear. And it did remind me of when she was at home with her own dog. It's the same kind of that lightness in her voice. So yes, we are seeing that, and we're seeing a growing amount. We even see some colleges allowing some of the students to bring animals to the college. Of course, when I say that, part of me wants people to be very careful with that, because being in college takes a lot of your time. So it has to be that you are giving the animal the care that they need. But some colleges are allowing that now.
That's a very important point that you're making, because we think that we can give them the attention they need. And we may need to look at that very carefully.
That's true.
But that reminds me, too, of another story that you tell about the inmates at San Quentin Prison and how they've been working with a program with the Marin Humane Society. And tell us about that program.
Sure. That experience really touched me. There is a program called Pen Pals that Marin Humane has set up where dogs that need to be socialized or maybe they need some medical care, for example, some medications that need to be given to them on a regular basis. But they have some inmates who are selected at San Quentin who will provide that and provide the socialization. So the dogs are brought there and the inmates can sleep with them and take care of them and get them socialized, because the better socialized they are, the healthier they are, the better chance they have at getting adopted. And it was amazing. It was really, truly amazing. First of all, I'd never been to San Quentin. I had only passed it on the road and thinking, oh, that's very pretty. But when you get in, it's different. It's very different. When I was also able to go around with one of the inmates and he was showing me, this is what we do. This is how we connect. And to hear their personal stories of how, for example, I think of one of the inmates who was taking me around, who said to me, you know, when I was in Louisiana, we chained our dogs. You know, we fought our dogs and never, ever thought of them as anything more than that. And he was resistant to getting into the program at all. He thought, no, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to do. But he finally did. And he said it opened his eyes completely. It said it taught him to be more tolerant, not only to dogs, he said, but to other human beings. And he said it taught him to be less angry. And he realized the importance of that. And he said it turned his world completely around. So isn't that, to me, oh, that was, such, right?
And I think you also describe that as the inmate is talking about his dog, mm-hmm. how his voice even changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a lightness. There is a definite lightness. And to me, it was so powerful, because isn't this the transformation we want to see in people? I don't know about you, but prison, you lock people up, but where's the transformation?
Well, I think of the work at Pelican Bay, which is in Northern California, and how so many inmates get isolated and they don't even have even human contact. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then they let these, when I found out that they let these inmates out, back, they serve their time and then they're let out with $40 in their pocket or mm-hmm. whatever. I think at that time they were let out in Ukiah where we lived, mm-hmm. and they're just in on the street on their own, and they've been in isolation, and it just is crazy. It's crazy. They have no skills about right. this that one can learn from caring for, let's say, a dog.
That was another thing that was brought up by the woman who was taking me, who took me over from the Marin Humane Society. She mentioned that part of the thing that they don't have is connection to each other. That's just not what they do, because it's a survival mechanism. But when you have a dog, all bets are off. You can connect in a deeper way.
I'm here with Carlene Montez Dioka, and she's the author of Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as